can handle the truth.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, second hour coming up, and I want to remind everybody we still are in a pledge drive. So if you would, if you haven't already donated, and even if you have donated, dig down a little bit deeper and send some more money in so that these bills can get caught up, folks. They're trying to catch up before this insurance settlement comes in because they're dragging their feet on the insurance settlement. It'll come, but we just don't know when. In the meantime, the bills need to get paid. So give them a call at 800-724-2719 or go into the website at republicbroadcasting.org, click on PayPal, send a donation, or you can mail it to 1015 South Mays Street, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. I have my guest, Rob Balsamo, with me, and Rob, we have another caller on the line. This guy's from Canada.
Okay.
All right, let's go to John in Canada. John, you're on with Rob and Michael.
All right, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, there's as you were just saying, you know, if you look up for smoking guns, there's hundreds of them. You know, but we can prioritize or see that some facts are more significant than others. And when we look at Atta, for example, the alleged mastermind hijack leader,
mm-hmm.
who, according to the official storyline, was one of the very few who actually knew how the whole thing was going to go down, according to the FBI, through criminal investigations that they concluded, and you can find the reports on the internet at ABC News. I think even CNN initially did a story on it. They found that the alleged mastermind ringleader was funded by General Mahmoud Ahmad.
Right.
And it isn't a left winger. It isn't a left winger thing. It's just that's what the evidence dictates. Like that's what the evidence says. They followed the wire transfer from their Muhammad Atta's bank account. Leading to the action of this general. Now, this general was at the White House 2 days prior to 9/11. At that same date, according to Jim Mikuláševský, who was provided the top-secret presidential directive war strategy documents, at that very same date at the White House, according to these documents that came from Condoleezza Rice's office, they were working on their invasion of Afghanistan strategy. Again, Jim Mikuláševský isn't being a left-winger or a commie. He's just telling you the facts. Like, that's the documents he has in his possession, of which they reported on already. And you know, one other fact is Tom Daschle told us on Tim Russert's show, Meet the Press, transcripts available, immediately after 9/11, Bush worked diligently, deliberately, with criminal intent to immediately close all outstanding criminal investigations. And there are CIA officers that verify that, and there are also FBI officers who verify that. So it's not so much trying to find the smoking gun. It's being able to communicate effectively to understand what justice means in relationship to freedom, because we hear, or I should say maybe I hear, your debates, you know, these guys who are running for president, they don't have a clue what freedom is. You know, you have to have justice. That's what freedom is. If you don't support evidence to form your conclusions, you're going to go as bad guys warring innocent peoples, telling us about how they're all evildoers, and as a consequence, a whole bunch of innocent people die, and the 9/11 perpetrators walk away scot-free because they go, look, you got thousands of smoking guns. You're lost in the minutiae of information. But as I say, if we can set priorities on pieces of evidence that are more significant than others, I would say that the FBI's formal conclusion on who financed this thing is number one. And, of course, this guy's gone unarrested. He was the guy Bush personally sent to the Taliban to let them know no evidence is going to be brought against the accused, Mr. Laden, who, under Muslim fundamentalism, would be an innocent man, and they're forbidden by their religion. You know, they'll cut your hand off if you steal something or whatever, but under their fundamentalist doctrine, they cannot hurt or prosecute or persecute somebody that they have no evidence against. So they knew that. General Mahmoud Ahmad knew that these were religious fundamentalists and assured them that not one scintilla of evidence would be brought against the accused. Otherwise, an innocent man in Christ, and it's America's obligation to stand up in defense of that principle, no matter what your religious background or ideology is.
Okay, John, got to take a break. Good points. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Rob Balsamo. I'll be back in three. Stick with us.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market, but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time. Whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719. All right, we're running down the road. Here we go. We're back again. Michael Herzog with my special guest, Rob Balsamo. And Rob, want to take some more calls?
Yeah, you have some good music on this show.
Thank you very much.
You do.
I picked it out myself. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay, let's go to Don in Ohio. Don, you're on with Michael and Rob.
Yeah, I'm going to drift off a little bit differently here for a second. I've donated once so far this month, but I was wondering if you guys could set up a separate thing to donate for. I know RBN needs the money too, but I'd like to see more bumper stickers get out for Ron Paul, and I'd like to maybe give a donation to that that effort and see if we can do something to get more bumper stickers out there.
I'll tell you what, I'll put the word out to him. That's a good idea. Ron Paul's going to be here this weekend, I believe. I heard an announcement. Well, there's a commercial on, I think. He's going to be in town in Austin on this Saturday, I think. But anyway, no, that's a great idea.
But, I mean, be a Ron Paul 2008, but also have something on there, for RBN, maybe not as big, but, at least, spread the word about RBN, too.
Yeah, no, I'll bounce that off John.
Okay. Thank you much.
All right, thank you, Don. Let's go to Alan in Kansas. Alan, you're on with Michael and Rob. Hello, Alan.
Yeah, hello there.
Hi.
I have a question about the speed of these aircraft. How do we know how fast the aircraft were that hit the buildings, hit the towers?
Well, the towers...
Where does that speed information come from?
I believe, and again, we haven't gotten into the World Trade Center hits yet, but we will. And the limited research that I have done, aviation related, on the World Trade Center, the speeds come from radar. They track these aircraft all the way to the towers. American 11, their transponder was turned off, but they still had a primary target. Basically, what that means is just the radar bouncing off the metal of the airplane and coming back. And you know, radar reconstruction, you can figure out the speeds, you know, speed, time, distance. And United 175, that did drop off radar, if I recall correctly, very, very brief period, but it reappeared. No, I'm sorry, that was American 77. United 175 just switched transponder code. So transponders, the way they're built, there's what's called mode C. When you select that on your transponder, what a transponder is when you get a radar signal off the radar tower from the ground, of course it bounces off the metal of the airplane, but also it goes into what's called the transponder in the aircraft, and the transponder amplifies that signal and sends it back. So you get a nice return on the radar panel for the air traffic controllers. Plus, when you're in what's called mode C, when you select that on your transponder, it gives them a little bit more information, such as altitude, ground speed, and so on and so forth. And in the transponder in United 175, reportedly, this transponder was still what they call squawking mode C, sending out a mode C signal.
All right,
and it was showing, you know, it had the speeds and whatnot.
Well, let me explain why I'm questioning this. This where the information for the speed has come from is because I've seen in video an airplane flying between, like across the street, down behind some people talking to somebody on the video while they're taking a video.
That was the plane hitting the north tower.
That was the plane hitting the tower. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, the
but
fireman.
You can see this aircraft going behind these people, and the person that is talking on the video has time to turn their head while the airplane is flying across, you know. And if you do a frame-by-frame advance, I don't know how fast each frame is on a VCR tape. But that plane, if it were going 500 miles an hour, had to be covering around, if I just say 500, it had to be covering around 733 feet a second. So it could have crossed between those buildings virtually in 1 second.
Yeah, 500 miles,
frame
500
frame,
miles an hour is divided by 60.
It's
yeah,
turning to see the plane. The time just doesn't quite match up to me.
Well, are we getting some feedback here?
A little bit. I don't hear too much, but I hear a little bit in there.
Okay. Let me mention from my perspective, because I've seen that video clip, Alan, 25, 30 times.
Yeah.
And I believe, and Rob, you step in here if you think I'm off, but it looked to me like those firemen that were filming that video were probably about, a half a mile or so away from that, from the Twin Towers. I mean, you know how it is? If you've ever been to Las Vegas and you see these great big buildings, they look a lot closer than they are because they're so big. So I'm thinking that it was probably a half a mile distance between those, where they were filming that video and where that plane hit the tower. Well, if you multiply that times the seconds that it clicked off, which is about 3 seconds, and then you divide it out as far as how fast.
Well, Mike, let me just add that, you know, if it was doing 500 miles an hour, you just divide 500 by 60 and you get almost you get a little bit more than 8 miles a minute.
Right.
So.
Right. So you divide the 8 miles a minute into the how many seconds, and it wouldn't it be about right? 3 seconds.
Yeah, it sounds about right. I mean, you can look up. Those are the Norde brothers documentary. You can look up Norde, NAUDET, I believe it is, and you could find out the exact intersection that they were on, that they were filming that documentary with the firefighters. As a matter of fact, they didn't see it pass them. If you recall, while watching that video, you just hear the noise of the aircraft coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they swing the camera, you catch the tail end of the aircraft slamming into the building. 2 seconds or whatever.
The picture I'm talking about is the one where they're looking down a street.
Right.
And there's a building on the left. Now, what you may be, what you're telling me may be right. The building on the left may be a lot closer than I think it is. But you
hit the building,
the,
is it the World Trade Center tower on the left?
No, no, no. In the video, it hits the tower on the right side.
Okay,
but
yeah,
there
that's
is
the
a building
tower.
On the left.
Right.
And you see the plane come from behind that building, across the street into the tower on the right. So
you mean when they're facing north initially? With the camera?
I don't know which way they're facing.
Yeah, well...
I don't know which tower it is. I'm trying to explain which video thing I've seen that where I see this picture.
Hmm.
You know, and there's somebody in the foreground talking to whoever or is facing the direction of whoever is taking the film.
Right, right.
But that person that is that can hear the noise, and you see this person turn their head and their shoulders... And they don't get to see the plane. They have enough time to turn in their head and shoulders while the plane is still in picture until it hits the building.
Right.
And I'm saying, I don't know if you figure this stuff out, if there's enough time for a five. Now there might be at say 300 mile an hour.
Yeah, we'll definitely look into it. From what I recall, I'll look at the video again. But from what I recall. The only portion of the video that they capture the airplane is from behind it and just before it impacts the building. They don't capture it before they turn the camera. That shot that they take where it does impact the building is a view to the south.
Well,
so initially in that video, I forget the exact intersection they were at. Hopefully one of your callers can call in with it. But the initial view is... Where he's showing that fireman looking over the grate, and that's a shot to the north. And then you start to hear the plane come in, the fireman look up, and then the camera looks up, and I don't think it captured it on a northern view.
And then he
pans around to the left real quick, and then you see it hit the tower.
As I remember what I'm talking about with this plane, you know, going between the buildings and hitting the tower,
mm-hmm.
Like it's down the street and going across the street to hit the tower. As I remember, there is about 3 frames of full view of that aircraft as it transfers across and hits the tower.
Hmm.
And
okay,
I don't
yeah.
know how...
I mean, they do capture it just prior to impact.
Yeah,
yeah
and I don't
agree.
Know how much time there is in each frame, but if a person could estimate, you know, the distance and the speed of each frame, you could see that plane travel frame from frame and have a good estimate of the speed of it. And I'm questioning about the 500 miles per hour if that's actually how fast they were going or not.
Yeah, it's a good question.
You know
we'll
what I'm saying? Because you're losing enough and getting information from sources that's telling you what this is, but is that really true? And if they were going a little slower, wouldn't it have been easier for them to make the maneuvers to do what they were doing?
If they were going slower, yeah, absolutely, it would be easier to do the maneuvers to maneuver to hit that building. The interview that we have up on the front page that we did the other night, talking about the pilots that were in the simulator that couldn't hit it. They had to slow down to almost landing speed.
Yeah,
to hit the tower square.
So what I'm saying is this 500 miles per hour may be a necessary number to explain how it entered the building, but that may not be true either. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's all kinds of things that we need to look into, and we'll get to it.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the
call,
Alan.
Thank you very much.
All right. Listen, Rob, on that subject, now you are jet, right? You can fly a jet, right?
I'm not type rated in the Dornier, but I flew that airplane for 5 years in the right seat. I flew the King Air as a captain.
Okay.
The King Air 200, which is also jet, but it's a jet prop.
Well, no, the only reason I was asking the question is because at 500 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
Now I understand, you know, when you're at 30,000 feet, the air is a lot lighter up there.
That's right.
But the heavier the air gets at 500 miles an hour, especially at 750 feet off the ground or whatever, that plane has got to be very, very difficult to maneuver.
Yeah, and we do describe that in the other interview we spoke about. We get roll reversal. There's possible roll reversal that can happen. There's of course control surface flutter that can happen. There's all kinds of realms that you get into when you're flying above VMO. And It's possible that they could have aerodynamically modified the aircraft. Who knows?
Okay, have you seen the clip? Well, I'm sure you have, of the planes hitting the tower with the pod underneath it.
Yes, I have, and we don't get too much into theory. We just like to try to stick to facts. Some of our guys have researched it thoroughly, but we won't put stuff like that up on the site because, you know, I need stuff that I can call up the NTSB, call up the FBI, and say, hey, look, this doesn't add up. I want answers. And just going in there with something like the pod, I think I'll get hung up on.
Okay. So. All right. Well, all right. So where are we going? We're going back to the – I wanted to – we were on the wreckage. We were talking about Hani Hunjur and Muhammad Atta. We had a call on that. But back to this wreckage at the Pentagon, they found one strut. There should have been three. You said that there was a report that most of the fuselage was in the building?
Yeah, I read a report not too long ago. I came across it, and I posted it up on that same – I believe it's the same thread in our forums with the Leto Titus pictures – and a link to that article. And the article says that, you know, they found most of the fuselage crumpled up and intact in the Pentagon, like an accordion. Where's the pictures of it?
Mm-hmm.
They say that they found the flight data recorder next to the cockpit. Last I checked, the flight data recorder, one, is in the tail. Two, where are the pictures of the cockpit?
Well, also these little pieces of wreckage that you see after the fact where they pick up in one hand what looks to be a piece of a fuselage. Do you recall?
Yeah, I know those pictures as well. It's interesting stuff, and I agree that there is wreckage there. There's limited wreckage there. I would expect to see a whole lot more. Especially the amount of seats that they had on board, the galley carts, the lavatories. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in an airplane of that size. So you would expect to see, you know, some evidence of that. And we only have very limited pictures of parts that they claim came from American 77. Again, the caveat here is to focus on the fact that it was American 77, and they have not proven that to date. Mm-hmm. They need to get those part numbers out. They need to get the maintenance logs out. Now, again, it's 6 years later, so anybody can say that they fabricated the whole thing. But it's a good start. You know, get it out to the professionals, people like us. We have accident investigators on our team. Have us take a look at it. Now, unfortunately, this is the job the 9/11 Commission was supposed to do, and our tax dollars paid for. And here we are, we're going out doing it as regular citizens because they didn't do their job. In our film, Pandora's Black Box 2, we have the clip of Lee Hamilton, the co-chair of 9/11 Commission, saying himself that they were set up to fail, that they didn't have enough money, that a lot of people have things to hide, and that they got, you know, over 100 people, he states. And he says if you go down the list, over 100 people. That should outrage the American public to the fact that, you know, This event was a catalyst to everything that we're in now, killing people across the oceans and giving away our freedoms.
Well, they started the investigation. Well, first of all, if you recall, Bush and the Cheneys stonewalled the investigation. And finally, when there was enough pressure put on them by the New Jersey Four and so forth, they started the investigation with the assumption that 9/11 hijackers, Arabs with box cutters, hijacked these jets. That's where they started the investigation.
Right.
And they did such a job of covering up. I mean, it's just so full of holes. That anybody, I mean, even they came out with a book afterwards, and I can't remember the name of the book. But even in the book, they're stating that a couple of they don't understand why some of these people that were questioned weren't prosecuted or indicted.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have that up, and it will stay up on our site in the left-hand margin of the Washington Post article, where Thomas Keene and I believe it was Lee Hamilton as well. They come out and state, you know, there might have been. Deception by the Pentagon, and it does have the book in there as well. It states the book, and you could click on it, left-hand margin of our homepage.
Well, on the subject of Thomas Keene for a minute, I was reading another book. I don't remember. It's I was promoting it on the air one day. Something about Crawford, Texas. It's about George Bush,
uh-huh.
And Keene is involved with some of these oil companies in this Caspian oil deal. But in going down and investigating all the members of that commission, for example, Philip Zelikow, okay, you remember when Bush said he was going to put together a team of, quote, experts? Well, I went down and did the investigation on what these people were experts in.
Yeah, I know where you're going with
that. Yeah, did you know? Did you read that? Zelikow was an expert in the creation of myths.
That's right. It's on his Wikipedia page.
Right, yeah. It was a great group of experts, but the experts were experts in making things up.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, back to now. Let's go on the engine. Now, was there an engine found at the Pentagon, or was it at the World Trade Center?
The engine that you see relatively intact was found at the World Trade Center. And so, reportedly, it's when United 175 or whatever aircraft hit the South Tower, you see a wisp of smoke come out the other side and plume off. Supposedly, that was one of the engines. And it landed on Murray Street, and they took a picture of it. This picture, and if you just Google 9/11 engine Murray Street in Google Images, you'll see it right there. You see several different images of it. It's under an awning, this thing came out from traveling almost more than 500 miles per hour, according to the official story. It went through a building and dropped almost 1,000 feet onto the concrete and landed under an awning. And I don't know exactly what the engine weighs, but it's got to be more than 1,000 pounds and dropped over more than 1,000 feet. And the concrete is pristine. So.
Well, and the size of the engine does not fit a 757.
It was a 767 that hit the South Tower, but our mechanics looked at it. And they say, you know, they'd have to look at it in detail up close, in person, to get a real idea of where it came from, what type of aircraft it came out of. But they think it looks so far consistent with a 767.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to Linda in Minnesota. Linda, you're on with Michael and Rob. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I can't hear everything you're saying. I'm listening on shortwave. But, of course, I know you're talking about the 9/11 attack and so on. This has to do with the recent debate that was on Fox and the statement that Rudy Giuliani made back to Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Here is my question. I heard this before, and I don't know where to track it back to. My question is, where was Rudy Giuliani during the attack? And wasn't Building 7 considered a command center? And then here's the rest of it. We know, you know, those of us who have been listening to this over the years, we know that on that very day, Vice President Dick Cheney said, oh, we were running a mock terrorist attack. He was down in a bunker, and I'm sure that Zbigniew Brzezinski was with him, and I suppose Henry Kissinger and the rest of that, you know, gang. So how does all of this connect together? In other words, can there be an investigation to find out where Rudy Giuliani was on that day, and was he in that Building 7 watching that mock terrorist attack go down?
Well, I don't know for sure. I have my opinions, and I know, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong here, but they did some renovations on Building 7, and I can't remember which floor it was exactly. I think it was like the 27th floor or something.
I don't know.
I haven't
looked into that yet.
They had remodeled the building, and they had put in all kinds of equipment. And, yes, that was some kind of – it wasn't a bunker, but it was a command center of some sort. Okay.
Well, that was Vice President Cheney, but I'm talking about – in addition, you know, Rudy Giuliani, who was there in New York City.
Right. No. I'm talking about Building 7 now.
Oh, yes, and that's what I'm talking about too.
Yeah, Building 7 did definitely have the emergency FEMA bunker in there.
Right. I'll tell you what, guys.
Linda, hang with us. Okay. Got to go to a break, and we'll be back in 3, This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Rob Balsamo, talking about the 9/11 attacks, and we'll see you in a bit.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Everybody, this is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Good news, my Dixie Chicks are back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, with my special guest, Rob Balsamo. And I've still got Linda on the line, I believe. Are you there, Linda? Is Linda still here?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Now, we're talking about the bunker, and we're talking about the command center, Building 7, right?
Yes.
Okay. Rob, what do you know about this? And
yeah, from what I understand, there was a command center in Building 7, and it was, I'm pretty sure it was a hardened bunker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which floor it was on, but it was the emergency command center that they had in there in Building 7. And, of course, they had the PEOC, the Presidential Emergency Operations Center, I believe it is, underneath the White House, where Mineta testified in front of the 9/11 commission that Cheney was down there with him. prior to the Pentagon attack, saying a soldier comes in, and we have this rare clip in our film as well, saying that, you know, the aircraft is 50 miles out, it's 30 miles out, it's 10 miles out, and the soldier's telling Cheney, and he asks Cheney, do the orders still stand? And Cheney whips his neck around and says, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
Right.
Well, we don't know what those orders were.
Well, the order would have to be that the whatever it is going to hit the building.
Yeah, it did hit the building, that's for sure. Right. Well, we don't know that yet, but something attacked the Pentagon.
Yes. Okay, so the question that Linda had was, where specifically was Giuliani? Is that right, Linda?
Yes.
Yeah, and...
And this is, if I had the clout, you know, the ability, and I knew who to call, I would call for an investigation on this man before he does one more debate and calls himself an American.
Well, it's funny that you brought that up, and I watched the debates the other night, and I watched Giuliani attack Ron Paul. And, you know, I thought at that moment in time, I thought, boy, you have a lot of audacity to attack this man when you're a former prosecutor and you're the very man that did not allow an investigation of the metal of those towers, and it was shipped off to China. And you, Mr. Giuliani, have the audacity to attack Ron Paul about 9/11? Yeah, you know a lot about terrorism, Mr. Giuliani, because you're part of the cover-up.
Yes, he was paraded out in front of the media to be a hero, and that's what they are playing him on, as this hero of 9/11. And isn't it interesting, when you're the one who burns down the Reichstag in Germany, and you get to be the hero, and you get to be the next dictator.
So tell me, is it your theory, Linda, that... that Giuliani was in that, not the command bunker, but what do you call it, in the World Trade
Center? Building 7.
The command center?
Something was, even if he wasn't in there, I believe that this man had prior knowledge that he knew exactly what was going on. He knew what the scenario was going to be. You know, these are just like actors playing out a part, and here's what's going to happen, and then here's what we're going to do. And how these people can stand in front of a television camera and look into it and keep, you know, without laughing or without horns starting to come out of their head is beyond me.
Well,
you know, how can they keep a straight face?
Well, I think Laura Knight Jadzik, of whom I had on my show a couple weeks ago, put into perspective, she said that there's, 3 to 5% of the population that are literally psychopaths. And these people are psychopaths. They're megalomaniacs, and they have no soul. They have no conscience. I don't know that they have a soul, but they have no conscience.
Their consciousness is seared. You know, it's gone.
Mm-hmm. They're motivated by their agenda. And nothing can stand in their way. They do not value human life. They use whatever they are going to use to further their agenda. And you're right. Rudy Giuliani did have prior knowledge. Again, I say, for him to make a statement that he made on that debate the other night and have the audacity to attack Ron Paul, mm-hmm. when him being a former prosecutor knew this all along, he prevented them from doing an investigation on the metal in that building. That is just a blatant cover-up. So
you see, this is the problem that we are up against. You kind of hit on it. It is almost impossible, because I went through that phase, it's almost impossible for a good American to believe that we have a government that is that corrupt, that wicked, that they would kill their own people for an agenda.
It's very hard, and you know, tell me your thoughts on this, Rob. It's very...
Well, let me just add to that. You know, you got to remember, these people who don't think of us as their people. You remember
right.
that Bush, I'm sure you guys have seen it, that Bush speech, I think it was in Fahrenheit 9/11, where he says, you know, the haves and the have-mores, and you're my base.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't think of us as their people, as part of them. So, and they also have a problem with the ends justify the means, and they also have a problem, thank goodness, with arrogance. And that's what's probably going to bring them down.
That's their Achilles heel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they look at us more, well, they, even Ted Turner has said we're bottom feeders.
Okay. We're the unwashed to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And part of their whole religious cult, whatever, if you want to put it in that context, is that they have to, even through their their deception, they have to tell us what's going on. They do it in the form of, like Lindsay Williams says, in buzzwords. Mm-hmm. But they tell us in so many words what they're going to do and what's going on. And it's up to us to be intelligent enough to catch it. The problem with this society, per se, is that most of America is so hypnotized and dumbed down by this controlled media. Mm-hmm. And they are so content to live in this illusion in which they live that to try to wake them up, and as you know, Linda, and I'm sure you do as well, Rob, the more awake that you become, the more you see the corruption, the more isolated really you become, because it's hard to convey that to the sleeping public. They don't want to believe it. Mm-hmm. They think that you're a nutball to try to convince them of it. And it's like feeding somebody, trying to feed somebody a piece of steak when they haven't, when they haven't grown teeth yet. You know, you have mm-hmm. to feed them pablum a little bit at a time. That's why I put, out this Freedom to Fascism video, because once they see that video, and they realize that the government has lied to them about taxes since 1913. Then it at least might open up their mind enough to be objective and say, well, wait a minute, if the government's lying about this, then maybe they're lying about other things.
Right.
But you have to kind of condition their mind to be objective to listening to you first. Otherwise, they just shut down. And I'm sure you've seen this, Rob. You probably have, too. You know, you start trying to tell people everything what's going on, and it's so overwhelming. Within 5 minutes, they'll just glaze over.
Yeah, and, you know... Thank goodness that there's so few of them out there. As a matter of fact, when I start talking to people about it, when I go out, and I'm in a very red area of Knoxville, Tennessee right now, temporarily, but when I go out and talk to people, it's surprising to me, because I'm from Long Island. I figure that I'm going to get all kinds of resistance, and they'll glaze over, and like you're saying, Mike, but I get a good... three of them that agree and they're doing their research. The fourth agrees but doesn't want to, you know, hear about it and just get on with their life. And the fifth, one out of five, will actually fight me on it. And then walk away in a huff and puff when I give them all kinds of details and facts.
Yeah, I think, and part of it, again, like you said, Rob, it depends on the area in which you live.
Yeah.
I almost got kicked out of a restaurant last Friday night.
Wow, really?
For talking. Well... I'm not going to go into it. I went into it on my show the other day. But it's, you know, there are certain people that just, when you start talking about 9/11, the fact that it's an inside job or whatever, they don't want to hear about it. And to the point where they get offended that you're even talking about it.
Yeah, well, it's rare that I come across that is what I'm saying. I get maybe one out of five now that get offended by it. The rest either... they listen in and say, oh, yeah, you got to check this out. And they already know, and they've already researched, and they're doing their research. Or they already know, and they're just getting on with their life. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, Linda, anything else? We've got other comments.
Thank you very much, and you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, dear. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to Art in Kansas. Art, you're on with Michael and Rob.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, I'm not sure we need a British knight running for U.S. president.
A British knight.
Giuliani.
Oh.
Yeah, he was knighted, I believe.
Yeah, a cross-dressing knight. Yes.
Six years ago, he was knighted, and that gives him a direct line to the Queen and Prince Charles and whatever.
Well, you know, again, I go back to the debate the other night. After the debate, when Hannity and Combs were sitting there and they were interviewing these candidates one at a time, you know, even though Giuliani, I think he showed 16% in their vote. Hannity was all over him and building him up and making him look great. And then when Ron Paul got on the seat, they got into a vicious argument to the point where Sean Hannity was talking over him, and Alan Combs actually stepped in and started defending Ron Paul. And Sean Hannity was shouting so loud that they said, well, we got to cut to a break now, because Ron Paul made him look like an idiot.
Well, you know, 2 weeks ago, on the morning news with Chris Matthews on his show, He had four CFR members there discussing the debates. That's Cynthia Tucker from the Atlantic Constitution, Dan Rather, Mrs. Greenspan, who is Andrea Mitchell, in case people don't know that, and David Ignatius pushing a new book. And he was there at the debate. Not once did he mention Ron Paul.
Well, they try not to mention Ron Paul.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I think we better pray for his safety.
Well, that's true. He better not be taking any private jets unless they've got 24-hour guard on it. You'd agree with that, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that goes back to, you know, we'll toss in the JFK Jr. You know, well, let's talk about that for a minute, Rob. You being a pilot, okay?
Yeah, sure.
JFK Jr. Art, you want to stay with us?
Sure.
Okay. JFK Jr., he was flying a Saratoga. Okay.
That's right.
He was a private pilot, just like me. He had how many hours? He had 100 and...
He had about 300.
Had about 300 hours. Had an instructor with him, right?
Not in the airplane, no. Not when he went down, no.
Okay, he didn't have an instructor with him.
But he is instrument rated. I've flown that.
Well, now, excuse me, but I thought the report was that he wasn't instrument rated.
Yeah, he was instrument rated. Wait a minute. You know, it's been so long. I was pretty sure either he was instrument rated or he was very close to getting it.
Right. He was like me. I mean, I've been down the gamut and I've flown, you know, I've got the hours or close to the hours of instrument rating, but I quit flying before I took the test.
Right, right. Either way, you know, once you get to that level, and the guy wasn't a dumb man, that's for sure. He was very smart. And he was very cautious, from what I understand. When I first heard of it, and I was living on Long Island at the time, and I flew that area. I flew in the New England area. The New York corridor was my stomping grounds for flying. I mm-hmm. flew it all the time. I know what it's like. I've flown out to Martha's Vineyard, the Nantucket, all the time. The Hamptons. I used to fly for East Hampton Airlines. I flew Martha Stewart. I flew quite a few celebrities as well. But when he first went down, I was just really upset at his instructor, because I figured that, you know, normally he says he takes his instructor along, and again, it's been a while since I've researched it, but I was upset at his instructor for his instructor not grounding him. And then after I started my research this past May on, you know, 9/11 and everything and New World Order and what's going on, I'm starting to think different about how he went down, because I don't think his instructor would have let him go if he thought it wasn't a safe thing to do.
Well, it was VFR conditions.
That's right.
Right. So it wouldn't matter whether he's instrument rated or not.
He
filed a VFR flight plan.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that he's, you know, he knows that route. He goes out to the vineyard all the time.
But one thing I want to point out, according to their reports, and have you ever flown a Piper Saratoga?
Flown Dakota, which is the same, but it's
yeah, it's you know, like a Warrior. I mean, not a Warrior.
Yeah,
but
Cherokee 6. I've flown
right
but
Cherokee
here,
6.
Yeah.
It's a similar plane. Okay,
yeah.
And I've got time in that plane. But the point is that according to their reports, the plane itself went straight down. Well, now flying a Cherokee or whatever, those planes don't go straight down. You have to force them to go straight
down.
That's
very true. And him having 300 hours, he knows, just let go of the yoke. You know, as an instructor, I used to tell my students that all the time. If you ever get in a predicament, just let go of the yoke. Let go of the steering wheel. The plane will stabilize itself as long as it was trimmed up in level flight prior to that.
Right.
It'll stabilize itself. And the guy was a smart man. He knows that type of stuff. So, and he was starting to get powerful.
Well, the theory is that he was going to make his bid to run for presidency.
Yeah.
And Hillary Clinton was terrified of that, because he would have won hands down. It would have been a landslide.
He might have won for the Senate for New York at that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it stinks to high heaven, just like a lot of things. You know,
yeah.
I mean, his father's assassination, his uncle's assassination. I mean, we can go on and on and on with it.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
sure.
But the bottom line is, in that particular airplane that he was flying, for them to say, as soon as they said that the plane went straight down from 1,000 feet, I knew.
Yeah, I think it was about 2,200 feet, actually. And he was coming up on the approach to Martha's Vineyard. They say it was 2 miles in haze that night. I kind of remember it. I think I flew that night. I don't remember either that or the day before, but I was definitely either out that night, but I remember it not being that hazy that night. Over the islands, you do get some fog, but they were reporting some decent weather, and he was an experienced pilot. He had 300 hours.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely flyable.
Yeah.
And so the fact that the report that the plane went straight down is totally bogus. And then the search for the wreckage was I don't even remember. It was 12 to 13 miles away for 24 hours or so before they finally located his plane 6.5 miles off Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah. I didn't research it thoroughly, but
I've seen a few reports on it, and it's just like it ties in with all this other stuff, like I'm talking about, as well as this major cover up with 9/11. There's something else I wanted to cover here before we ended. We covered the hitting the building, the wreckage. Here we go back to this wreckage at the Pentagon. We got a break coming up. When we come back, we'll have a final segment with Rob. And I'll talk about a little bit more about this wreckage. I have one more question for you, Rob. Okay, so stick with me. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. We'll be back in 3. Stick.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, we're back. Final segment, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, with my special guest, Rob Balsamo. And Rob, I have one more question for you.
Okay,
it's not according... Well, it is the wreckage. It is, but it isn't, okay? Now, in the video that you did, You got the National Transportation Safety Board report, and you gave a detailed analysis of the approach to the plane and the 330-degree turn and what have you. And then we went into the altimeter settings and so forth, and it looks to be that this plane was actually higher than what was reported by mainstream news. In other words, they said it came in at 500 miles an hour, 3 feet off the ground.
Right.
Okay, and you pretty much, the National Transportation Safety Board conflicts with that.
That's right. It does not support that.
Right, it doesn't support that. So the question is, what knocked those poles down?
That's a good question. Let's go ask the government.
Yeah. That's just one of many that we've got to find
that's
out.
That's right, and that's what we try to do. Jeff Hill at pumpitout.com, great guy, called up the NTSB and tried to do just that, and we have it in the film as well. Recorded with the NTSB, and we also have me trying to get answers from the FBI, trying to ask those questions. And as usual, we didn't get any answers.
Well, I listened to that clip when Jeff called, and it's just amazing how these government officials, you know, answer their questions. They answer it with non-answers,
right.
and they song and dance, and they they try to shift it off to another department. So
how did you like that piece where the guy who signed off on the American 77 report had to be reminded where that aircraft hit?
It's like he had to be debriefed before he wrote it.
Yeah.
You know. I know there's so much of that it just, even to listen to it, you know, it's reminiscent of any time you call a government office.
Yeah.
They're trained not to tell you the truth about anything.
Yeah.
And that goes back to what amazes me so much about, you know, how the public at large. Now, you know, according to you, they're starting to wake up. You say you interview, you know, three people and they'll listen to you. One person is kind of agnostic and another person will get defensive.
Right.
You know, but at least, you know, in that capacity, people are starting to listen. And I think the reason that they're starting to listen is because they know there's something seriously wrong.
Yes.
In order to believe the level of corruption that is going on behind the scenes within our government, these criminal elements of our government, it's very hard to swallow, especially when you've been propagandized and raised all your life that we live in a free country, salute the flag and to the republic for which it stands and so forth.
Yeah.
And then to find out that literally almost everything we've ever been taught is a lie.
Yeah, you know, when I first started, quote-unquote, waking up last May, I went through a very emotional state. It takes about a good 3 months. Psychiatrists say, I read it somewhere, that they say once you go through something very traumatic, it takes about a good 3 months before you start to come out of it and get on to the way you were before something traumatic happened to you. And, you know, I've also heard it equated to the so-called awakening to this. As if, you know, the kid, you have a dad that constantly lies, is a drunk, and the kid goes up to the mom and beats up the mom, the dad maybe gets physically violent with the mom, and the kid goes up to the mom and says, Mom, I've been raped by dad, and she doesn't want to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I equate it
to that.
Yeah, I equate it to suffering the death of a loved one. Or going through a divorce after being married for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
It's that level.
Yeah.
And what we're talking about is divorcing ourselves from a government that we thought would never lie to us and indeed does all the time. Rob, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today, sir. And
thanks.
I'll have you up again, and I appreciate you putting me up there on Pilots for 9/11 Truth, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, that ends the Thursday edition of The American Awakening. Stick with us for the National Intel Report coming to you next, and I will see you tomorrow. Have a good rest of the day, guys. Bye-bye. A message for